Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I am excited about today's episode where we're talking about how to overcome overthinking. I want y'all to know now, this is already going to be a multi-part episode. I told y'all we're dealing with mental health this week, or this month rather, for Mental Health Month. And the more that I learn about the mind and the way that it works as I pursue my psychiatric nurse practitioner certification, the more I'm going to share with y'all, because God is revealing things to me in the Word and in education about the mind. And we talked a lot last week about laying the framework for overthinking. And I want to go over our definition one more good time, that overthinking is when our mind becomes entangled in its own loops and it turns repetitive thoughts about past events, future worries, and everyday decisions into a debilitating cycle. And I talked a lot about how this is different than concern, right? This is like us really going in, we're worried about it, it's causing us to procrastinate, it's keeping us with stuck in a cycle where we're having physical and mental distress because of our overthinking. And in addition to our overthinking, as I prepped for this week, God wanted me to address something that I should have said last week. And I want us to understand that God gave us the ability to think, right? There are no other creatures on this planet that have the same capacity, the same mental capacity that we have as human beings. Our ability to think and our capacity to think is a gift that God has given us as image bearers of Him, right? And so the point of God giving us this guidance on overcoming overthinking, I want us to understand that this isn't a thing of condemnation, but it's a thing of correction. God gave us the capacity. And so He's calling us out, all of us overthinkers. He's calling us out because He wants to convict us so we are stewarding well over the capacity that He's given us. God had really just showed me that the enemy is trying to utilize this information of what overthinking is and really revealing to you the roots of overthinking. The enemy is trying to utilize this to get you to compare and to torment your thoughts more so than what you've already been dealing with. And that is not going to happen here. The point of us talking about overcoming overthinking isn't so you can, woe is me, I'm so horrible. It's so God can go, okay, hey sis, this is why you feel stuck. And here's how you can overcome it in my word and in my power, because I gave you the capacity. So you're going to have to submit that capacity to me in order for it to be utilized in the way that I intended when I formed you in your mother's womb. So I really want you to understand that God is bringing deliverance to the minds of his people in this season, right? And his discipline, even in this area, those little pricks that you may feel, God kind of nudging you, those levels of conviction are a sign that God loves you. His word says that he disciplines or corrects those whom he loves. So don't allow the enemy to take this information and then have you condemning yourself when God is just trying to give you deliverance. Okay. Also, I want to state too that you don't have to do this on your own. Like, you don't have to do this on your own. In fact, I encourage you not to. I encourage you to get a therapist that can arm you with more of the practical skills. And then I want you to utilize the word after your therapy sessions, even if your therapist isn't a professing Christian, you can take those points, those practical skills and tools, and you can take them back to the Lord, back to his word, and then you utilize it that way. Now we're getting the practical and we're getting the spiritual covering that you need. And then, of course, using supplements like this podcast to tackle overthinking practically and spiritually, right? The Bible says that there is safety in a multitude of counsel. So it really is your responsibility to make sure that you're being prayerful so God can guide you in establishing sound, wise counsel. But don't feel like you have to overcome this issue alone. We're not meant to do that. This is a supplement to help you kind of get started. And I highly encourage that you get a therapist. And then you take everything that God is revealing to you and your study time, everything that you're learning, and then you apply it as God leads you to do so. Okay, so that's the point, friend. Now let's talk about retraining your brain, because in us learning about how to overcome overthinking, it really is about us tackling any type of warfare that the enemy launches against our mind. And this week, we're going to talk about the first strategy, and we're going to dive deep in. So you can retrain your brain. And I don't know if y'all know that. It's called neuroplasticity, and it's something that I learned about in school. And I think that one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that we often feel like we're helpless or defenseless in controlling our thinking, but that's not the truth. God created our minds in a way that they can be transformed and renewed. Romans 12 and 2 tells us, right, that we're not to conform to the ways of this world, but for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if you're feeling stuck, then we have to question whether or not you're experiencing a level of transformation. Transformation doesn't occur without truth. And I want you to understand that this same level of transformation in medical terms is called neuroplasticity. You can retrain your brain. So by definition, neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. This capacity allows the brain to adjust in response to learning, experience, or injury. So this is why you'll hold on to like traumatic things. And if you keep meditating on the traumas and you don't go to therapy and you don't go to God, you will literally rewire your brain so that you're experiencing all of these things from a traumatic standpoint. There's a term that I learned in the lecture that we were talking about pain, and it's called diabolical learning, where essentially the reason that people have chronic pain is because those neural pathways, essentially, they are so used to you having pain that it becomes the new normal. And so your body will start sending pain signals without a stimulus. And that is essentially the basis of chronic pain. That may be too sciencey for y'all, but just the fact that your brain will diabolically learn. Okay, that is crazy to me. So neuroplasticity is your ability to adjust your brain's response. In practice, neuroplasticity means that your habitual thoughts and behaviors, it can physically change the structure and function of your brain. What you think can change the structure of your brain. And so it makes it possible for you to develop new cognitive and behavioral patterns. That's science. So it's not just God saying, oh, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. No, science also says, like, yeah, the person who made your brain, he absolutely meant that practically as well. You can retrain your brain. God has given us everything that we need in him to have the proper dominion over our minds. And we are tripping if we think that the same God that gave us access to his spirit so we can have authority over the power of the enemy and we can tread on the heads of serpents and all of that. If we don't think that the same God who gave us that level of power wouldn't empower us to control the little 3-pound organ that sits in between our ears, we are allowing the enemy to lie to us and we're lying to ourselves. Holy Spirit absolutely gives us the authority and the power that we need to take authority over our minds. We oftentimes are ready to go out to the nations and take this territory and that territory. Let's worry about the little 3-pound territory that's in between our ears and get that straight first. Because that's where a lot of the spiritual warfare battles take place. Right. And so I want to give you, we're not going to go super deep into some of the practical things, but I definitely think that it is great to mention this in terms of preparing your mind for neuroplasticity, repairing or preparing your environment rather, so you can retrain your brain. So here are some things that you can do so that way you can put your mind in a place where you can build these new connections. Lifelong learning. Okay. I stay in somebody's school. This is the last time I'm going back for real, hopefully, as long as God don't tell me I got to, but you should always be learning and making new connections, learn a new language, get Rosetta Stone, do something. Lifelong learning helps prepare your mind so you can make those new connections. Physical exercise, go walk for 30 minutes a day. That helps prepare your brain to start making these new connections. Getting adequate nutrition, making sure that what you're feeding and putting in your body are things that are going to help your brain development and growth. Just because you're not a baby anymore or you're not a child, you still need to nurture your brain. Making sure that you're getting adequate sleep. A lot of us are physically harming our brains because we're not getting enough rest. Reducing your stress. Because, of course, overthinking is going to have you out here stressed out and pressed out. Now you can't sleep. Do you see how the enemy's taking territory even in the practical things? You can't sleep. You're so anxious. You don't want to eat, or you're emotionally eating. So now you're eating stuff that's not good for you. I just want you to see the cascade effect. So all of the things that you need to prepare your mind or condition your mind to be able to be retrained with adequate sleep, nutrition, in you overthinking and not doing these practical things, the enemy has a stronghold on your mind. So reducing stress, increasing your social interactions. So the same way when you're dealing with things like overthinking, anxiety, depression, stress, you want to isolate. Not solitude. Solitude is you and the Lord. When you are in solitude, you're not by yourself. And there's set limits on that. And I'll talk about that later this season. Not solitude, but when you isolate yourself, that is a trick of the enemy. Because increasing your social interactions helps prepare your brain to be retrained. And then, of course, adopting a growth mindset. I did an episode on this, I believe it was earlier this season, where we talked about positioning things as a lesson and not as you taking a loss. That's essentially the premise of having a growth mindset. Like, that didn't work out that well. What can I learn from this? Because God has already given me the grace and has already forgiven me. That's why Jesus died. I don't need to be condemned. But what can I learn from this situation? All of these strategies are really helpful in you developing new pathways and making your mind more moldable or more neuroplastic. Right? The Bible makes it very clear that our relationship with God through Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, all three persons of God we have access to, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we have access to the Lord in this way, we have access to develop a mind like Christ. Go read 1 Corinthians 2:16. We can have a mind like Christ. But the issue is that a lot of us don't know the truth about our thoughts. And so I'm going to first say that overcoming overthinking is going to require for you to know the truth, right? So we talked about the practical things to start getting your mind ready or in position to be easily transformed, to be renewed and rebuilt through the adequate rest, through all of those practical things. And then our first strategy that we're going to kind of lay the groundwork with this week is you understanding the truth about your thoughts. Okay? I need you to understand that the first key in overcoming overthinking is that you have to understand that every thought presented to you in your mind does not belong to you. Now, before you get the side eye at me and ready to click off, I need those who have ears to hear to pay attention to what I'm saying. Every thought that comes into your mind does not belong to you. And there's scripture that goes along with this, okay? Because I want y'all to understand, like the Bible talks about this. In 1 Chronicles 21:1, the scripture says, Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So in 1 Chronicles, David takes action based on prompting by the enemy. And back in the day when you were doing a census, it essentially was either to build the military or to build income for the kingdom via taxation. David did not do this by the direction of God, but he did it under the provocation of the enemy. Like the enemy provoked him. Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census on the people. And then David realized that he moved outside of what God called him to do. He didn't even talk to God. He did it because the enemy had prompted him to. The enemy presented this thought and David acted on it. And God gave David three choices of what the consequence was going to be. David ended up picking a three-day plague and it killed so many people within the kingdom because of his disobedience to God. Based on a thought that the enemy put there. And it's not just Old Testament. Go on over to Luke 22:3-4. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priests and the captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. Friend, the enemy was the one who gave Judas the idea to go ahead and betray Jesus. That's scripture. And although the death of Jesus was part of God's divine plan, right? We see that the enemy played a key role in Judas's betrayal of Jesus. And if you keep reading, Judas dies by suicide as a consequence to his actions. So they give him, 38 denarii, 28, 38. He gets money and he goes and he buys land with the money and then he hangs himself right there. And that man has been in hell ever since and is going to be there for the rest of forever. Based on him acting on a thought that the enemy placed on the inside of him. So there are three things that we really have to differentiate. You have to be able to differentiate your voice, God's voice, and the voice of the enemy. There's a difference between the three. So let's talk about our own voice. A lot of times, like I just said, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And also, we have to know that the enemy has been defeated. Jesus defeated the devil like he came, lived the perfect life, died, rose, ascended. Like he defeated the enemy. And so really the premise of spiritual warfare is that the enemy is trying to take as many people, because his judgment is decided. He's trying to take as many people to hell with him as possible. He's going. And the way that he does that, that a lot of us seem to be oblivious to, is through him exploiting the faults in our flesh. Because everything's not the devil's fault. Right? Like, had David prayed, then he didn't have to act. And God could have revealed to him. Had Judas gone to Jesus, even with his thoughts, and not acted on it, then the plan would have had to come about a different way. He had even been forewarned. Jesus said, one of y'all gonna betray me. And Judas sat there and then went for the okey-doke anyway. But the way that that works is because that was already sitting in Judas's heart. The enemy simply exploited the jealousy that was sitting in the heart of Judas. There's scripture that talks about how when the woman with the alabaster box anointed Jesus, Judas was like, why are you spending all that money? That's a year's worth of salary that somebody else could use. Whole time, Judas was stealing money himself. And so it was just the enemy exploiting the faults in Judas's flesh. And this is the way that he continues to work against us. Everything that we go through is not the devil's fault. A lot of it is rooted in our decision-making too, because the Bible tells us that God gives us a way of escape, that there's no temptation that's too great for us. So when we talk about how scripture, people falsely say this, that God won't give you more than what you can handle. That's not true. Now, you won't be tempted beyond what you can handle, but ask Job about him getting more than what he could handle. The point in us being in those situations is that we learn how to depend on God. So it is absolutely going to be more than what you can handle. However, God does not tempt us beyond what we can bear. So the temptation isn't going to be more than what we can handle, but the situations, they are going to feel like it's more than what you can bear, because it is, because in your weaknesses, you're supposed to go to God, and then you're able to really stand strong in God's strength, not in your own. But scripture tells us that God makes a way of escape for every temptation. So we have to be vigilant in making sure that we are looking for those ways of escape, that we're not passively accepting every thought as our own. This is how you end up in this diabolical cycle of overthinking. And I'm not just saying this. Paul talks about this struggle in Romans 7, verses 18 through 20. He says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it." Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, is struggling with his flesh. Paul. And the enemy, because this is warfare, is just going to come and exploit it. So if you already don't trust God, and that's really a pride issue, then the enemy's going to plant thoughts in your mind about how God doesn't love you, how you're not provided for, and it's going to draw this wedge between you and God. It's going to get you busy thinking that you have to solve all your own problems instead of you realizing like, No, that's me. That's me. Because see, I have this underlying flesh issue, and now the enemy's trying to exploit it. And then we have to be able to differentiate your own voice, the voice of the enemy, versus the voice of God. The Bible tells us that God's sheep knows his voice. John 10:27. There's so many scriptures where God is speaking to his people directly. the way that you can differentiate your voice, God's voice, and the enemy, please understand that the enemy is evil and he's a liar. Your flesh has no good thing. So if you hear, go pray for that person, the devil's not going to tell you to do that. Your flesh all by itself is not going to want to do that. So the things that you hear that line up with the word of God, which is why you got to be in your word, anything that exhibits the fruit of the spirit, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, love, it's the Lord. Anything that is the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, it's likely you and then the enemy trying to exploit that. But you have to be willing enough to do the self-examination to see that through. To be like, yeah, this is very much so given me trying to do this in my own strength. Pride. And so there's a level of self-examination that has to take place. And if you're still not convinced, okay, if you're still not convinced that every thought that is presented to you doesn't belong to you, I need you to explain intrusive thoughts to me. Explain intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts are defined as mental events that interrupt the flow of task-related thoughts in spite of efforts to avoid them. So you're sitting here minding your business, working on something else, and a thought just intrudes despite your effort to avoid it. Please explain how that thought then belongs to you. I really need you to understand the truth of your thoughts. This, you have to understand this foundational piece in order to have any hopes of succeeding and overcoming overthinking. Understanding that all your thoughts don't belong to you is critical because it's going to shift your perspective on thinking. I want you to now think of every idea that comes to your mind as someone presenting something to you. And then it's up to you to evaluate and determine if you're going to accept or receive that thought or if you're going to reject it. Understanding the truth of this first strategy, because now you're aware that the enemy will lie to you in your own voice. And if you aren't careful, you're going to give him access to run rampant in your mind. This is how we get to overthinking. And so the way that you're going to overcome this is through assessing and evaluating your thoughts. We're going to start working to challenge our thinking. And I'm going to give you more strategy next week because I have a homework assignment for you this week. So we're going to simply start by you assessing and evaluating your thoughts, because that's how you establish a sober mind. How can you hear wisdom from the Lord and be fully aware of the schemes of the enemy in other areas of your life if your mind is intoxicated with you ruminating on situation after situation after situation, or ruminating on things that haven't even happened yet? 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us to be sober and vigilant because the enemy walks around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When someone or something is devoured, it means that it's engaged fully. It's being spent wastefully. And so many of us are being devoured because we've come into agreement with thoughts that do not belong to us. This is what we talk about when we talk about the battlefield of the mind. And before we put a pin in this episode, I want to tell you two things. One, this is something that I heard that Joyce Meyer said, and it was really good to me. She was talking about how she doesn't like snakes, right? And she was like, so I don't like snakes. If someone tried to walk up to me and hand me a snake, I would tell them no. And if they kept being aggressive, like, we're gonna have to fight, essentially, because I don't like snakes. No matter how persistent you are, I'm not holding the snake. And our thoughts are the same way. You don't have to take hold of something that you don't agree with because it's being presented to you.
They are not all your own thoughts. Once you come into agreement with that thought, you take possession of it, and now it belongs to you. And now we've given that open door access. So I want you to think about that analogy. What's your one thing that you like, absolutely no way? Don't accept that. I also have had to train my own mind, like, yo, if somebody walked up to me and said out of my mouth, like out of their mouth, what I'm thinking, we would fight. Could nobody off the street walk up to me and be like, you ain't never nothing and you ain't never gonna be nothing? We're fighting. I'm sorry. I'm not that saved yet. Like, no, you gonna know something about yourself. And because the enemy lies to us in our own voice, we just accept it because he's aware of the traumas. He's aware of the things that we have not yet given to God and allowed him to heal. And so he's exploiting that. But if Lil Lucy was standing in front of you face to face and saying out of his mouth to you these lies, you would not come into agreement with it and be thinking on it all day long. No, I'm going to let you know something about yourself in the name of Jesus. And so we have to really take that strategy of assessing and evaluating our thoughts and challenging them. Now, next week, we're going to dive into our anchor scripture, but I want to give it to you, and then I'm going to give you your homework assignment. So our anchor scripture that's going to help guide us in overcoming overthinking and overcoming the battlefield in our mind is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-5. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Your homework this week is for you to capture your thoughts. I want you to write down the thoughts that are going rampant in your mind. Okay? You have to start capturing your thoughts. You have to capture them so we can challenge them. And I want you to capture them. And what you're going to do is interrogate them. When you're capturing your thoughts, I want you to think about what happens when a war criminal is caught or like a villain in a movie. We're going to start asking questions. How'd you get here? Who sent you? I want us to take the same approach in challenging our thinking. We're told to take every thought captive. So that's what we're going to do this week. And I don't want you to focus on the content of the thought. That's where you start to overthink. Don't argue with the lie. But I want you to start investigating the cause of the thought, the conditions of the thought, the conditions that foster it. So if you are dealing with lust, right? And the enemy's over here in your ear telling you, don't nobody love you, you ain't worth nothing, ain't gonna never be nothing, etc., 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 the lie. You understand the cause because maybe something traumatic happened. Maybe something in your childhood. Maybe somebody said something to you that wasn't cool. And then the conditions that foster it is that you over here listening to sad R&B music, friend. And so it's echoing that feeling and that thought. So I want you to identify the cause. I want you to identify the conditions that foster it. And then I want you to look at the consequences that it brings. If it's you or the enemy, it's going to bring about death. Death to your confidence, death to your belief in God, death. Death will be the end result. It's going to bring about strife. Go to Galatians 5. Look at the works of the flesh. Look at the works of the fruit of the spirit. And you will be able to identify the source. The Bible tells us that the character of of the enemy. He is the accuser. Satan is not his name. Satan is a title. The Satan. Just like Jesus, his last name isn't Christ. He is Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Savior. And Satan is Lucifer the Satan, the accuser. So if you're being accused, feeling condemned, and you're a child of God, and your word tells you that there's no condemnation in Christ, then you understand where this thought is coming from. Look at the consequences that are going to roll out. So remember, it's not about content. We're going to capture our thoughts. It's not about content. It's about you evaluating the cause of the thought, the conditions that foster it, and the consequences that it brings. If you need help, if you are looking for questions to kind of guide you through this, click the link in the show notes. I created a free worksheet to kind of help you through this process. Click the link in the show notes, get the worksheet, and get to work. Okay? We are going to overcome overthinking. I want you to meditate on 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Next week, we're going to really break down verse 5 real good so you can understand what the enemy is trying to do. So I pray that this blessed you. I pray that you feel empowered. Really do the homework, friend. Really do the homework, because I guarantee you there's going to be a level of revelation that God gives you. And once you have peace that surpasses all understanding, baby, the devil will never be able to have access to that again. You are going to refuse to give that peace up. And I want that for you. There's going to be a level of clarity, not that situations won't happen, but there's going to be a level of clarity that you have. And because you are used to having peace in your mind, you're not going to tolerate the shenanigans that get presented in your mind for you to sit and overthink about anything. And that's on Jesus Christ. Okay. So girl, I love you. God bless you. And I will talk to y'all next week.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner time favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.